All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given, either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In John chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Let's see if we can make this statement that Jesus stated here in John 10, verses 4 and 5, and put it into application in regards to the things that we need to learn from what the two verses teach. See, the Lord is comparing his people to sheep. Sheep who know their master's voice. And knowing his voice, they follow him. But, as he says, the sheep will not follow strangers. So, it's only that God's people will follow the voice of the Lord. They will not follow the voice of strangers. They will instead flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Truly, the Lord's people need to hear and to follow the Lord, rejecting the voice of strangers. And it's the Bible that furnishes us with the Lord's words. The Bible, the New Testament, in particular for you and I, is the Lord's voice that we need to hear. We know that certainly we need to hear him from Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he is appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So truly, God speaks to us today through his Son, and his Son has appointed unto those men that he chose when he lived and walked upon this earth, and commissioned them to receive the Holy Spirit that would bring to their things the remembrance of what he had taught them in the time that he was with them. And so as it says in John 10, where we read a moment ago, he said that my sheep will hear my voice. He says on down in John 10, as we look now at verses 27 and 28, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We know that truly it is the fact that we are to hear the voice of the Lord. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, remember Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." So truly, we need to hear the voice of Jesus, because his is the voice of truth. And we know that since it was, as Jesus said in the statement concerning Jesus' baptism in Matthew 17 and verse 5, that while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud that said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So over and over we see the fact that you and I are to hear him, hear Christ. And also, we read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely, and truly furnished unto all good works. So we are thoroughly furnished, completely furnished, thoroughly equipped with all things that Jesus has said through his word, through his apostles, through those inspired individuals that have given unto us the New Testament. And so then, we're commanded in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The word oracle simply means words of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We have those completely and truly given unto us in the form of the New Testament. And we need to hear the shepherd's voice, heed the things that he says, and be aware that there are many voices that are out there, many strange voices. But in regards to us being his sheep, we need to not follow the voice of the stranger. Instead, we need to flee from him. We need to not know the voice of the stranger. And that means not know in the sense of following that which the Lord has not said. So we see then that the Bible furnishes us with the knowledge that we need. God commanded those, we read a moment ago in Matthew 17:5, hear ye him. The Lord's sheep are those that hear and those that follow him. The Scriptures completely furnishes us unto every good work. We need to speak as the oracles of God. But now let's turn our attention in the time that we have left to some of these strange voices. Well, there is the voice of worldliness. Worldliness urging us to gratify all of the fleshly lust that we have. With the innocent disguise of saying, well, we need to enjoy life, we need to have good times. But while that's true, that's not enjoying life, having good times through the means of drinking, through the means of reveling, through the means of gambling. No, we find in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 beginning that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I've just told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's in the book of 1 John that we read in chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We have another list that we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's that statement that James makes in James chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God." Yes, enjoy life, have good times, but let it not be in the things of which we have read in these verses. Let that not be a part of the makeup of the life that we enjoy, of the good times that we have. Then too, all of that is the strange voice. Then there's the voice of denominationalism. It says that one church is as good as another, that we all need to join together in brotherhood, for we're all striving for heaven. We're just going different paths, going different directions, but we're going to arrive at the same place. Friends, truly, this is not so. We need to understand that John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So again, it's back to what Jesus has said, what his voice utters, that we will follow. We will hear his voice and follow. It's in Ephesians 5 and verse 11. It says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And then there's the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, when he said in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone," talking about the apostles, "but for them also which shall believe on me through the word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and as thou has loved them as thou hast loved me." So we need to understand that that is a strange voice that we hear, all in the name of religion. There's the voice of worldly success that places business and profits above all else. But we're told in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money," not money, but the love of money, "is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have pierced themselves." They've erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's in Matthew 6 and verse 19 that Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we see then that we need not to listen to that voice that places worldly success above all else. Neither we need to listen to the voice of emotionalism that talks about a religion that's better felt than told. We know that certainly we must reason from what the scriptures teach in order to know what God would have us to do. We see that Paul stated in Romans 10 and verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." See, we must never let our zeal outrun our knowledge of God's word. And that this is exactly what Paul is describing here. They had a great zeal, but that zeal was not tempered with the knowledge of God. And he also indicates what always happens when we do not have the proper knowledge of what God's will is. We go about to establish our own will. If we're ignorant of God's righteousness, we establish our own righteousness. And so it is. That is one of those strange voices that we need not to give heed to. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.